And we're joined on a Friday edition of The Scoop once again today by Justin Jett of Def Pen Hoops, taking a look at some NBA storylines as we flip the calendar from 2018 to 2019. Justin, first off, hope you had happy holidays and a happy new year. Lots of exciting storylines to break down here as we roll into 2019.
Yes, thank you. You as well. And basketball is getting going here. We're starting to get into the heart of it.
And no shortage of interesting storylines. I mentioned one that popped up here today. Adrian Wojnarowski kind of was the first spot that I really saw this being circulated, but I'm sure there were others in on it as well, is that Jimmy Butler has evidently become a little frustrated with how things are playing out in Philadelphia, has challenged head coach Brett Brown on it a couple of times. So obviously looks like exactly what happened that led to his exit in Minnesota is starting to happen now in Philadelphia. So maybe we're not surprised that it is happening again. Is it surprising, though, that it is happening as quickly as it is, that it seems like he's starting to get frustrated with how things are playing out?
Well, I think it's a few things. I think they're probably not as good as he had hoped or that team had hoped. And when you're on a team that has Joel Embiid, who has consistently been a high usage player his whole career, three seasons, but his whole career, for a guy that wants to be the guy and is used to being the guy, I could see how he became frustrated. Also in that story that was posted, Brett Brown did say that he didn't think it was out of bounds or abnormal from the normal confines of the player-coach relationship. But obviously some other witnesses saw it a little bit differently. I think Jimmy Butler is just a confrontational guy, and he has maybe not the best way to describe how he's feeling, and that could rub people the wrong way and lead to reports like this. It is fascinating how quickly it has happened, but everyone knew that the Butler Embiid Simmons relationship was not a perfect fit, and so I think we're starting to see some of that play out.
One of the big things I wanted to talk to you about here today, because I know you have been going up against some of the usual doubters and detractors on Twitter for Mr. James Harden. And Harden is in the midst of maybe one of the most prolific scoring stretches we've ever seen. In fact, probably the most prolific over his last handful of games. He's been just an absolute clinic, a triple-double clinic, and is putting up numbers we really haven't seen before. But that still leads people to kind of criticize his play style and to suggest that it's a result of, you know, getting to the free throw line way too many times or things along that line. So I want you to kind of set the record straight as to why what James Harden is doing is so special, especially considering that he is an aggressive player that ends up getting to the free throw line as much as he does.
Yeah, I think my main thing with people who are complaining about the free throws and how they're not fun basketball and how he flops and there's all these different things to draw too many fouls, people hate it. I understand how it cannot be appealing to some people, but there should never be an argument that it's not effective or he should not be doing it. A free throw is the best shot in basketball by a country mile, and a player who can draw fouls as much as he can should be a great thing. You should see that as a great thing, not a negative. There's very, very, very few players, probably no other players, that can draw fouls like James Harden can. And even if it is from sometimes flopping, he is drawing this contact. He is getting hit all the time, every single game. And during this clip, I think he's averaging like 13 free throw attempts a game or something crazy like that. But that 13 games of 13 free throw attempts, that's getting hit hundreds of times. And some may be exaggerated, but you cannot argue that he is not being hit. And so what I just don't like is when people come out and try to act like all these free throws are a bad thing, or they actually prove that he's not that great of a player if you take out free throws. You can't take out free throws because free throws are part of the game. drawing them is part of the game, rest are part of the game, it's all part of it. And yeah, this stretch has been unbelievable. It created an amazing stat line for him. Michael Jordan's most prolific season, well, I think is his most prolific season, he averaged 32.5 points per game, 8 assists per game, 8 rebounds per game, 3 steals per game on 61% true shooting percentage. James Harden this year is averaging 33.6 points, 8.6 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals on 62% true shooting percentage. It's almost identical, if not Harden, maybe a tiny bit more impressive, depending on how important you think 2 rebounds per game are. What he's doing right now is unprecedented. Those are the only 2 guys that have ever averaged those numbers. And he is the current MVP by such a large gap. I mean, Giannis, we all want to give it to Giannis, but I think that's because we are turned MVP into MIP. We just want the newest when that's not actually who should get it.
Justin, this is coincided with Houston going on an 11-1 stretch, in which has really got them back into the conversation in the Western Conference playoffs. And it was stamped off last night by a 135-134 win over Golden State in overtime, in which Harden again had just another absurd triple-double. What has been the biggest factor for the Rockets since December 11th to be able to flip the switch and get back into the thick of the Western Conference playoffs?
So it's been a few things. Obviously, Harden has gone nuclear, and that has been incredibly important. But also, Daniel House Jr. has been a revelation and has been absolutely incredible find for this team. He is amazingly athletic. He has learned to shoot right away in the Rocket system. He's averaging almost 4 attempts on 36% shooting, which is a great mark for him because he's not a good 3-point shooter in college. He's willing to cut. He can stay on his feet on defense. He is a big body on a team that usually goes small and can go small with him. I mean, he's a shooting guard that can go to small forward, maybe a tiny bit power forward if you want to get crazy. He's 6'7", so he has the size. And he has been absolutely amazing for them. And then Gerald Green has started hitting shots again. He was shooting a really, really poor number at the beginning of the year, but he started to pick up some feet. He's getting hit in threes finally. And then Austin Rivers, the newest signing, he fits just perfectly on this Rockets team and in this Rockets system. And those 3 guys stepping up, Austin Rivers obviously and showing up, they have really been crucial to this run. But yeah, so it's Harden going nuclear, and then those 3 guys, Capella's upped his rebounding, starting to rebound better than he did at the beginning of the year. So that they look really good. They look like a completely different team from their first 15 games or so.
Justin, I know we talked a little bit about this whole notion of tampering, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, before we took the holiday break, and now here in 2019, it's really interesting to take a look back at where things are at now as compared to when we last talked about it. The Pelicans are 17-22. And they really are floundering to the point where it seems likely that Anthony Davis will be dealt. Is that a possibility that's looking more and more like a reality as we get closer to the deadline?
If I am the New Orleans Pelicans, I never do that. I hold on to Anthony Davis until he can leave himself, because he is that great, and New Orleans has been that bad for that long, where you have to hold on to a great player like him. You're not going to get the value back. You're never going to get the value back for what kind of player he is. And so you just have to keep trying to figure it out until he decides enough is enough. Their record is a little confounding to me, a little surprising. Drew Holiday, I think, is an all-star, even though his jumper has kind of fallen off recently. Julius Randle has been amazing. They've had really bad injury luck. Mirotic has been out for a while. They just got Payton back. And when their team was fully healthy, you saw what they could do. Julius Randle is an amazing sixth man. Nico is fit perfectly next to Anthony Davis. And then Peyton flashed and did a great job of doing all the things that honestly Drew Holiday doesn't do as much. Peyton has a little bit more speed. He's a little bit more score forward. And so those guys being out, again, they weren't a deep team to begin with. And so when they had those slew of injuries mixed with surprisingly physical defense, team defense, they're not as good as they probably should be.
Looking at a homecoming for Kawhi Leonard as his Toronto Raptors took on the San Antonio Spurs, not exactly what he was hoping for in terms of a final result, as the Spurs get the final laugh, 125-107. And you look at where the Spurs are at now, they're one of the top eight in the Western Conference after a little bit of a slow start. Are we seeing more of the brilliance of Greg Popovich being able to just continue to get the most out of the players that he coaches?
It really is amazing. A team built like this should not succeed, honestly. Three of their top shooters all average more mid-range shots than they do three. LaMarcus Aldridge isn't even shooting a good clip from there. I think he's shooting 38% from the mid-range. And somehow over the last, I believe, 13 games, they are the number one offense. They have the number one offense in the league. I am not so sure it can last. A team that shoots this many mid-range shots and consists of the players that it does, I just don't see how this makes it 82 games. But right now, it's one of the most impressive coaching jobs I have seen, just because we know how you have to play in 2018, 2019, and it's not how this team plays, and somehow it doesn't matter. They got guys like Bryn Forbes, who is an amazing shooter and can shoot from anywhere, and he's doing great. DeRozan's playing great. And so somehow they're just figuring it out. And like I said, I'm not sure it'll last all the way till the playoffs, but we'll see. Pop has proven everybody wrong for two decades, so it has been incredible.
We saw the first round of All-Star voting as I was, I have to say, a little bit surprised, but maybe not so once I looked into it. Derrick Rose, second amongst guards in the Western Conference, with a sizable lead, even over James Harden. To see his name, considering the type of season that he's had, were you at all surprised to see how far up the initial balloting he was?
Yes and no. I know how intense of a fan base that he has, but the guy had 150,000 more votes than James Harden, which is honestly incredibly ridiculous.
Yeah.
he's had an amazing season for him, and for him as in the new him post injuries, not MVP him, and he should be lightly praised for that good work. But 150,000 more votes than Harden, 240,000 more than Russell Westbrook, it just doesn't make sense. And he should not be a starter in the All-Star game at all, no.
Yeah, I tend to take the same approach, is that it's nice to see, but I get a little bit concerned with as much emphasis as is put on the voting. I mean, we see it in other sports, Major League Baseball, with the notion that there has to be one player on every team represented, and that they let fans pick who ends up starting, which I get why, but at the same time, you get some of this stuff that happens, and it makes no sense, and I don't know. That's a whole another issue for another time, is how to...
It's the Zaza. It's the potential Zaza starting in the All-Star game a few years ago. It's now this Derrick Rose thing. You get this every once in a while. It usually pans out okay, but like you said, it makes things a little interesting leading up to the All-Star game that
picking guys that absolutely do not deserve to be starting.
That it does. Justin, I'm going to incorporate a new bit that we'll do, just looking at some teams trending positively and negatively. We'll call it who's flying, who's dying. Let's just start with some teams as we get into the new year that are flying high and have been really impressive here over the last stretch of games.
Yeah, so the Rockets, obviously, as we discussed, they're flying as high as they have all season and maybe as high as they will all season. So they're doing amazing. The Thunder are still doing pretty well for where most people thought they would be. Their defense is legit, and Paul George is definitely in the MVP conversation. And then, like I said as well, the Bucks, they're quiet. You don't hear much about them, but they're two games up on the Raptors in the Eastern Conference. They only have 10 losses this season. They have plenty of shooting. They obviously have Giannis, who has been amazing, and they have just really figured it out. Before the year, I wrote a piece asking the question, is this the year for the Bucks where they have their turnaround season and Giannis finally gets to be on a team that's great? And so far they are great and they're flying high.
Let's flip it over to the other side of the coin. Obviously, teams that are starting to sputter or have been sputtering all season. Which teams to start 2019 have been dying the most?
The Kings have had a little bit of a drop off from where I had thought they'd be. I thought and I think they're going to be a playoff team, but they've had a couple bad losses over the last couple weeks. Their backcourt I love. It's probably my favorite backcourt in the league, just out of enjoyment. De'Aaron Fox is the fastest player in the league. He was correct saying that. but they've been sputtering just a tiny bit. I think they'll turn it around, but yeah, they have not been doing as good as I'd hoped. And then the Lakers as well. Without LeBron, you kind of see what the team is. LeBron does a nice job of throwing on rose-colored glasses on any team that he happens to play for. And without him, we're seeing what truly is the talent level. And so I'm a little bit worried about them even long-term with LeBron. They don't have a good shooting. They don't really have that second guy that's going to be a playmaker. And so they've been crashing. And then the Pelicans as well, as we discussed. They had a really ugly loss the other day to the Nets, and it doesn't look like they're even going to be in the hunt for the playoffs. So those three teams have really taken a dive in the last week or so.
As we wrap up here for today, Justin, I do have to ask. I saw that you you had an interesting story that you you looked at that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with baseball, more so the Chargers leaving San Diego. So I want you to explain that a little bit just as we close here today.
Yeah, so my once beloved Chargers, I'm a San Diego native, and unfortunately for me, a San Diego sports fan, had to watch them leave. And if you're a true San Diegan, that means that you're not a big fan of the L.A. area or the teams residing in L.A. And so it was an impossibility for my family to then become Los Angeles Charger fans. And there is a classic song for the Chargers, San Diego Superchargers, said all the time on any broadcast whenever they were good. And I did not want that song to die, so I had contacted the original producers of that song made back in the early 70s, I believe, and had them make a new song for the San Diego Padres. Basically the same sound, but just one for that team, and it's one of my favorite things I've done as a writer and as a journalist, and I was glad to bring that song back.
Outstanding. I'm going to have to, now that we've talked about it, I'm going to have to listen, and I definitely will take a little bit of a look at that. Anything at Def Pen that you're working on over the next week or so that listeners can check out?
Yeah, I'm going to have a couple pieces coming out. One's going to be a profile on a probable all-star that I'm hoping to get in the next week or so, and then another on how we need to start evaluating three-point shooting and how we can't just look at percentages anymore. So those are my next couple pieces that will be coming out.
Outstanding, Justin. You're the best. Thanks for joining the Scoop once again here today to talk some NBA. We'll see how things play out throughout the league, and we'll break it all down with you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.